This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Show with Dr. Lou Campominosi, former president of the Common Sense Campaign and professor of political science. This program is paid for by an anonymous donor. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning to you, Laurie, and to all of y'all out in radio land. Another week of all sorts of things to talk about, and that's what we're going to do today. And we're joined today with a really special guest, Rebecca Watson, who is the leader of our Moms for Liberty in Baldwin County. So Rebecca has been on the show before, and I'm glad that she's able to show up and be there on with us in just a little while. So let me just get right to what I want to start with. And the fact of the matter is that as the last three shows, I've talked about foreign policy issues, particularly with Israel, and that's not going to change today, mainly because Biden, and you know, it's really interesting to watch what's happening in the world, and Biden just seems to be sleepwalking through all of this business of the rise of another, you know, axis of evil. He's pushing Russia and China together. The Iranians continue to do whatever they want to do. And I've suggested before that unless we do something fundamental with the Iranians, nothing is really going to change in terms of the Middle East problems that are there. And so as I look at this and try to tease out what is really going on, it's clear that on the one hand, Biden wants to micromanage how Israel is handling Hamas, but on the other hand, he's completely willing to just let the Ukrainians, you know, do whatever they want to do without any real accountability, much less any kind of, you know, strategic approach to what they're doing linked to some sort of a peace plan. Whereas with Israel, I mean, what has Biden done? I mean, last week, as we were talking about, he was slow-walking precision ammunition, which the Israelis could use to actually prevent more civilian casualties. Now, he's finally opened that up after a lot of pressure and all the rest of it. But look what has happened. I mean, instead of just being able to go in there and clean out the last of these four battalions in Rafah, you know, Netanyahu has been forced to kind of, you know, slow it down just a little bit. But at the same time, notice what Netanyahu has said. You know, where Israel is not going to be the vassal of the United States, and we're going to do it no matter what. And so, I mean, you have to ask the question, as I have before, what is going on with Biden and the Israeli war, the absolutely justified war against Hamas? And it really boils down to, you know, what some people have said is the real two-state solution, which is Minnesota and Michigan. And so you have American domestic politics driving a wedge between Israel, our best ally in the Middle East, and perhaps the best ally we have in the world. For what? For domestic political purposes to ensure that Biden gets reelected. I mean, this is a joke. I mean, it's almost as big a joke as the UN Human Rights Commission with wonderful players like Cuba and China on it, and the UN trying to broker another ceasefire, and the WHO trying to take over, you know, pandemic control. I mean, let's hope that this whole business with the WHO stops. Well, we'll see about that, and I'll talk about that next week. But my point is, notice the international pressure on Israel. This is the part of this which makes no sense, except, you know, the degree to which anti-Semitism has just blown up in the United States, but it's always been out there in the so-called international community, okay? So here we're back to this whole question, though, okay? So despite Biden's motivation of slowing things down and the need to, you know, make sure that Tlaib and them on the pro-Hamas side of the Democratic Party are neutralized. The fact is that Israel is going forward, and they are going to do the job, okay? Which leads to yet another question, which I want to just talk about, and then I'll try to get into a couple of other points here. But the question that has been raised in Israel is, what happens after we take out Hamas? Okay, it's this day after issue. And so I would suggest that you look a little bit about the day after issue within the context of, you know, what seems to be acceptable to the Americans. Now, here again, we get back to the fundamental question of, why is Biden slow walking U.S. support? And here again, American domestic politics is taking precedence over what should be a no-brainer in terms of policy. But because the Americans are wedded to this two-state solution, then that seems to be what we're going to just push forever and forever. Now, the argument about the two-state solution is something that has been around for a long time, okay? But it was not a generic issue. The Palestinians never were part of, you know, a separate state. They were either living in Jordan or they wanted to be in Syria. Remember, as I said, you know, the Egyptians are the ones that occupied Gaza after the 1948 war. There were no Palestinians. All of that changed with the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, and how Yasser Arafat was able to leverage the Palestinians living in Gaza into a state. All right, so be that as it may, here we are with this whole question about what's next. And I will just say this, that we're at the point where even if the Israelis are able to take out the remaining four battalions, you're still going to have, you know, people who are oriented towards the Hamas ideology, and they're going to continue to get support from who? The Iranians. Now, I will say this. It seems to me that we're back to the head of the snake issue. The day after, even if the Israelis are able to defeat the military organizations, wipe them out, neutralize them, use whatever term you want to do to describe it, the fact is that money is still going to be coming in. They will recreate themselves as, you know, these things happen. But notice how, you know, when you look at denazification of Germany after World War II, that was a strategic approach to dealing with what happened. But denazification was predicated on having defeated the German army, okay? De-Hamas-station is going to be predicated in part on what is going on with the war. We have to defeat them. But as we've seen in Afghanistan and other places, these revolutionary type ideas do not go away. And as long as those revolutionary ideas are around, which they will be, and as long as those revolutionary ideas have funding to support them, what happens? It's just a recycle of the revolutionary desire to get rid of and destroy Israel. So my argument at this point is, what about the head of the snake? Let's think about using the head of the snake strategy to get rid of not only Hamas, but Hezbollah and the Houthis. And as you saw under Trump, there was hardly any kind of terror issues because the Iranians could not support its proxies. So that's where I am with that. Okay, let me quickly talk about the Cohen issue in the New York trial. I mean, this guy was a disaster for the prosecution. The fact of the matter is, you've got a situation there where the Trump lawyers just picked him apart, laid the groundwork for it by talking about all of his past issues, and then they slammed him on a phone call that essentially showed that he never did anything in terms of trying to protect Trump from any kind of blackmail over Stormy Daniels that was supported by Trump. It just wasn't there. And so you have to ask yourself, what is this prosecution all about? And I doubt seriously if, and even though it's a New York jury, it seems very hard to figure out how in the world this is going to happen and that the prosecution will win. Last thing I want to talk about very quickly, I promised Rebecca I'd give her at least 20 minutes, and I've got 56 seconds before I have to turn it over to her. Okay, so here's this whole question about the debate. Well, I mean, Trump has said, I'll debate you anywhere, anytime. I'm here on Wednesday. Come on over. Well, Biden finally answered the mail on it and has created this debate situation where in June there's going to be a debate. But notice the rules, okay? I mean, the rules are simply all about what Biden wants, okay? The choice of moderators, the TV crew that's going to run it, CNN and ABC, no mics are going to be on after you answer, things like that. So the real question is, who benefits from this? I think the short answer is Trump will destroy him. So the question then becomes, what happens in June if Biden is so bad that the Democrats want to use that as a means by which they'll get rid of him? We'll see how that plays out, okay? Now, I am at 1947 left, and so I am going to ask Rebecca to come on. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Getting through this with enough time left to give you an opportunity here. So let's talk about this first issue that we were talking about, and it's this whole question of this pride business going on. So give the audience, you know, a thumbnail sketch of what's going on and the dangers associated with it.
Well, here in Fairhope, we have Color Fairhope with Pride, which starts June 1st. And June is the Pride Month around probably the world, but definitely in our country. And so they will be having a Color Fairhope with Pride Festival down on the Bay, as well as the Bluff. And so that starts June 1st. And then there is the drag show, which is June 15th, and that is taking place at the Civic Center this year. And in the past few years, it's taken place at private restaurants. And then this year, now it's at this public building, the Civic Center, where we have our mayor's office and the city council meets. So if you've ever attended a city council meeting, you'll know right where that is. And it's a privated ticketed event. No children are allowed. It's 21 and up. And basically, the mayor had to give approval because they cannot discriminate against who they allow to rent the space as long as the people renting the space follow the rules that you know, are in place. So I believe personally that this group intentionally is doing it in a public building to send the message to all of us that they are here, They are not going anywhere, and we need to learn to deal with it. And personally, as a resident of Fairhope, I don't like that.
Well, I mean, we saw this last year where they just expanded into all sorts of different places, not just, as you said, private places. And so it seems clear that what's happening is something that is quite deliberate, and a strategic decision has been made on their part that they are not going to just go away. They are going to dig themselves into the whole area in a much more substantial way and in a public way. And so the real question is, what can we do about that?
Well, you know, these groups are very well funded, and they're very well organized. And they have a playbook because they've been doing it in cities and states across the United States for a long time, for a while. And so what we need is we need ordinances put in place in our city that can protect the citizens. You know, we need, when they come and say, we want to have our parade down Fairhope Avenue, we need to have an ordinance in place that can prevent that.
That would discriminate against a group of people?
It doesn't.
What do you mean by an ordinance?
Well, it doesn't discriminate, but we need, like, public decency. You know, if they have an event down Fairhope Avenue, what are the rules of that event? And I went through all of our ordinances, and I didn't see anything that would apply to that. I know Mobile has one. And so I think it's smart that we need to have boundaries, and we need to figure out what those boundaries are. Because the first drag show that was at a restaurant here in Fairhope had children invited. And then the second one had children invited. And people started getting upset, so then they said, okay, no children. And so now we've expanded into a public building where there are no children. But when you have a public event down at the pier and at the bluff, there are children there. This is a public space. And so if I want to go down there and play football with my son, he's going to see what's going on over there. And last year there was men dressed as women reading books to little kids. They're handing out condoms and KY jelly. There's an AIDS tent erected. You know, there's things down there that I don't really want my little boy exposed to. And I have the right to say no thanks because that's a public space. But when it's right there, I can't say no thank you because it's right there. Same thing if and not that we've had this in Fairhope at all, but if there's a drag queen story hour and I want to take my child to the library to get a book and there's the drag queen reading to the little kids, and so my child is inadvertently exposed to this, and it's the same thing if they want to have a drag show. You know, this is no longer adults going out at night and having a few drinks and laughing and having fun, because that's what it used to be. Now it is a target of, let's get the children involved. So when you want to put something like this marching down a street, and not that they have come to ask the city council or the mayor for that, but I'm just saying, logically, that's the next step. So if that were to happen, children will be there. And so what adults do with adults when you're not hurting anybody is your business. I could care less if you're gay or straight or whatever you're doing. But when you start including children, that's when I have a problem. And that's when the line is crossed and the boundary is crossed, and we all need to rise up and say, no more. Leave the kids out of it. Do what you want to do. Have fun. Live your life. But leave the kids alone. So we do need boundaries, and we need clear boundaries drawn, so that when people come and they want to do things, we say, okay, here, sure, but these are the boundaries. You know, you have to abide by these rules. And it's the same thing if for the Mardi Gras parade down Fairhope Avenue, we have an ordinance where you're not allowed to walk down the street intoxicated. you know, I mean...
Well, the real question there, though, is on the parade especially, and I think that that's what's coming next. That parade cannot have the kinds of costumes that show all sorts of different body parts, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that that makes a whole lot of sense to try to do that. I see over here in New Orleans, there's an issue with one of the parades that they haven't followed some of their regulations for how the parades are supposed to be handled, okay, and dressing and all the rest of that stuff. So it's perfectly normal and logical and I would say legal to put some real restraints on what they can show and do if they're going to have a parade. And I think the sooner you do that, that's something the city council needs to enact right away. Because I saw this coming last year, and I had suggested to some of the folks that we were working with when we got the we had a counter pride meeting I can't even remember when it was, in July, whenever, maybe it was June. But the point is, you could see that they were going to start moving in this direction to try to expand their influence and get more people listening and watching and coming and participating. And they can do all of that, that's fine. But let's make sure that as Rebecca has said, there are some boundaries to this. So, Rebecca, let me ask you this. In terms of reaching out to some of the city council members, what's the game plan with that?
Well, I do believe that our city council will be responsive. So I do want to encourage people to email or call your city council member, put them all on a group email, and let them know how you feel about this. I do think that... We're kind of in a situation where maybe we don't really know what to do. We need to follow the laws, but do we draw attention to it? Do we not draw attention to it? How do we handle this? And,
right.
You know, that's something that, you know, we're trying to figure out. I will tell you, they're not going away. So if you don't say anything and we all just don't address it, they're not going to leave. However, do you really want all of the LGBTQ community from all over the state of Alabama coming here to support the LGBTQ people because we are speaking out? No, we don't want that either. So we also have to find our boundaries. But I do think asking city council for an ordinance that we're not coming from behind, meaning we're prepared if it's asked. We are prepared with regulations that protect the citizens. And, you know, Mobile, they have a really great one. It's an adult entertainment one. And if people wanted to go look at it, it's very, you know, it describes, it's very detailed. And I sent that to one of our city council members. And feel free to send that to your city council members and say, please read this. And you know, what do you think? Because it's important that they understand that if they do something, if they are supporting, let's say, an ordinance for adult entertainment in the public, then that they're going to have support from the community as well. You know, they need to know that this is something that we all want, that the majority wants. They need to know that.
Well, let me ask you this, just to kind of follow up on getting that ordinance passed. It seems like, you know, Robert Monk is the Common Sense Campaign chapter president in South Baldwin, has been working very closely with what has become the Baldwin County Conservative Movement. And it seems like with Eagle Forum, your group, Common Sense, that you all will be able to get the word out very effectively to just really make sure everyone knows what's going on, and then people will show up at the city council meeting at the right time to voice their support for some sort of a public decency ordinance.
And let me just tell you, when you think maybe your voice doesn't matter or they won't care, if I reach out to them. That's not true. We actually had, at the last city council meeting, there was an agenda item, number 9, removing public comment from anything that was not on the agenda. So basically limiting the public as to what they could come and speak to, unless it was on the actual agenda. And we had several people reach out to the mayor, to the city council, and it made a difference. They removed it. They removed that item, and we have our freedom to speak at these meetings. So it's important that they know how we feel. And also, like you said, Dr. Lou, we have all these groups, and that we can get the word out as well. And our voices matter. You know, they need to hear from us. So it is very important.
Well, I think that the example of trying to stop comments on issues that are not on the agenda is something that we have been fighting with the State Board of Education forever. And it seems like, again, I know that it's a little bit off topic, but it's part and parcel of how the public can have an influence on public officials. And the fact that you all were able to get them to change, you know, that agenda item and keep public comments about anything the public wants is absolutely wonderful. I mean, that's an indication, like you said, they listen. And of course, you know, you've got elections coming up, I think, next year. I mean, the year after, I forget exactly when it was, but the point is, the political process demands that you have people who are watching what's going on and are willing to take their views to the forefront. So whether it's at the school board meetings, the city council meetings, whatever, we've got people there who are actually doing that. So this question about them, you know, being willing, and this is indicative of a mindset. They're willing to shut down debate about the pride stuff because they don't want to hear it. So what do? They just have an agenda item that says, well, we're not going to talk about anything other than what's on the agenda. That's just such BS, it's ridiculous. So I'm sorry to go ranting on it, but nevertheless.
No, but you're right. They don't. It's very volatile in those meetings when you show up to talk about the library books or, you know, the gay pride stuff. I mean, it can be very stressful. You have people on both sides, and it's nerve-wracking. So they're not going to put that on the agenda and want to have a big discussion about it.
Well, I know that we have, some time left. And I know we wanted to talk about that agenda item business, but can we just talk a little bit about what's going on with the library business? Because I know it's been a hot issue since I left.
Yes.
And it's not going away. In fact, I think Governor Ivey just did something good for those who are interested in making sure that bad stuff doesn't get into the library. But we also have, you know, the issue of how bad stuff is in the school system. So can you just kind of talk about those in the last few minutes that we have?
Yeah, so we did have the Library Safeguard Bill, HB 385, and it was not passed. But you're right, Governor Ivey was not finished. And if anybody is interested in reading, there's a AL.com, Alabama Libraries to Quickly Restrict Inappropriate Books. And then also 1819 News did an article on it. And so there are restrictions in place, and things are being done regardless of this bill passing. We hopefully have the summer where the school district is going to take time, take that Sora app, take the Epic app that I just found out is in Spanish Fort. A mom just sent me a message about her little boy in fourth grade that came home and said he read a book on the Epic app on his Chromebook about two gay men. So anyway, hopefully the school will take the time to take those apps get them secured so that our kids don't have access to books that are really bad. And there's a book called Beyond Magenta that's actually on there. And that is, everybody look that book up. Those kids have access to that. And these are 7th through 12th graders on the Sora app, but apparently the Epic app, the elementary kids still have access to them. So I would definitely, if I were a parent, I would start looking into those apps.
Let me ask you something, and Lori, just jump in here if you can. Would it be possible for Rebecca to send you something that you can post on the Facebook page so that people can see the what we're talking about with legislation, whether it's a Mobile's Decency Act or something along those lines?
Well, certainly send it to us, and I will see. Meanwhile, we are just about out of time at 31 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. It never fails. So, all right. So,
any parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts. Rebecca, what are your parting thoughts?
Don't be afraid to speak out. Just remember, we are here to protect our children, and they are the most vulnerable in our community, and every single adult has a responsibility. So don't be afraid to speak out, to ask questions, and to, as a parent, be involved with your kids' lives. You know, put the phones down and talk to each other.
I think that's great advice. My final thoughts on this is that this whole question of foreign policy is extremely important. We are at a very dangerous point with Russia and China working together, and I think that with someone like Biden, as I said, sleepwalking through all of this, we're just asking for big problems, and hopefully Trump will be able to pull this win off, and we'll get back to, you know, having peace through strength and a degree of stability in the world that is absolutely necessary for us to have the kinds of, you know, happiness that is implied in the Declaration of Independence. So, Lori, once again, at least this time I think I'm more on time. So I appreciate, in fact, my clock is just going off. So I appreciate the fact that we've had a nice conversation today, and good talking to Rebecca again, and hope everyone has a great weekend.
Thank you, Dr. Liu, and thank you, Rebecca. This is WABF. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Liu, former president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science. This program is paid for by an anonymous donor. The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the station or management.